Lancer Radio Network. LancerRadioNetwork.org.
This is Community College Path. I'm David Nguyen. At CCP, we talk with community college researchers and practitioners to help students navigate community college and transfer. Today, I'll be interviewing Jamie Lester, Associate Professor of Higher Education at George Mason University, about her article that she co-authored with Dr. Jeannie Brown Leonard, Dean of Student Academic Affairs, advising retention and transition at George Mason University, and David Mathias, graduate student at George Mason University. Their research article was published in Community College Review and is titled Transfer Student Engagement: Blurring of Social and Academic Engagement. You're listening to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. Can you start off by describing your study and the questions you ask?
One of the things constant in my academic discipline is this question around what is going to help students be successful in terms of graduation, right? So our main charge is how do we come to understand the different levers that we can pull to help students to successfully graduate, or in the case of community college students, to meet their goals, whether that be certificates or short-term training or associate's degrees, and then certainly transfer. But what's interesting about the discipline is that over time, we have tended to focus very much on what I would call and what we often call traditionally aged students, those students who start at 18 years old and they go to a four-year institution and 4 years later they graduate and they move on to careers or graduate school. Well, in working at Mason and working with such a large number of transfer students who certainly did not have a similar linear, simple path, but rather a circuitous route towards their time at Mason, you know, I began to question what does help them be successful at that transfer institution. How can we understand transfer student engagement, and what does that mean? In particular, how do we challenge the traditional notions and the discipline of what engagement means? So what myself and my co-authors sought to do was really to focus on these three questions, and they are: how do transfer students define academic and social engagement? In the literature, those are often defined separately. Students engage academically, you know, doing homework, going to class, engaging in academic clubs, or socially, Greek life, social groups, affinity groups, things of that nature. So that was our first question, is how do transfer students define these things? Instead of assuming we know how they define them, we wanted to know how they define them. The second was, how do transfer students engage academically and socially at what would be their new institution? And in this case, it was at George Mason University. So as they move from one institution to another, how does that definition of social and academic engagement possibly change? And then finally, how do those definitions, how does their understanding of engagement, how does that impact their sense of belonging, right? So sense of belonging being this notion that we feel that we are part of the institution, that the institution cares about us, that we belong there. So those were really the three main questions that we had going into this particular study.
What is student engagement, and why is it so important?
That's a really good question, and I think really sort of at the heart of what the discipline is trying to understand. This idea of engagement goes back to a psychologist named Aston, who is arguably kind of the founder of the discipline. And Aston conceptualized this IEO model, as we call it, input, environment, and then sort of output. Right? So students come in with these inputs, right? They have different levels of socioeconomic status, they have different academic preparation, they come from various race, ethnicities, genders, religions, and I could go on, but the notion being that there are people that come to us with different characteristics and different engagement in education. And then they go in and they interact with the environment, and in this case, the environment being higher education, that they engage in a variety of different ways. And then we have the output. The output, in some cases, is obtaining that bachelor's degree or, as I've already noted, getting a certificate, associate's degree, transferring, and so on. And that really framed our understanding. And really, it sounds very basic, which I think good social science research is pretty basic, is that we need to understand what happens in the environment so that we can help those students move to that successful output or outcome. And this has evolved over time, and it's been about 60 years of research on this particular topic. And what came sort of next was this idea of separating these experiences into social and academic engagement, that students are sort of, there's these categories into which they have these experiences, and those categories, both separately and combined, can have an impact on student success. And then that gets me to this really this concept of engagement. And engagement itself is really very, I would say, more academically based. And George Kuh, he's retired now, but he created what's called NESSE, the National Study of Student Engagement, which is a survey that is disseminated to, I think, about 1,500 institutions. And what Kuh found is that students engage due to academic challenge, which is effectively being engaged within the academic environment, so around the particular topics of their major or their class. That includes things like studying for academic work, preparing for class, reading their book, writing, things of that nature. And then there's student-faculty interaction. And that is when students and faculty engage typically outside of the class around course material. What we find is that the more that students engage with faculty, the more successful that they tend to be. The other is what's called active and collaborative learning. And that are the way that individual students are learning material in a variety of situations, often sort of problem-based, so not just being lectured at, but being engaging with their peers and trying to understand and apply the different concepts that they're learning in class. And what Kuh found was that the more that students are engaged in these different categories of engagement, the more successful that they are. So this is really, in a way, a pretty decent template for how colleges and universities should think about the way in which they engage students. They need to be concerned about these academic areas of engagement.
You're adding to the literature by examining transfer student engagement. What are the characteristics of transfer students that may make their experience in college different from others?
Community college students tend to be, at least on the aggregate, right? So when we look across states and different systems, tend to be very different from your, again, sort of traditional college student. Community college students tend to be older. They tend to be over the age of 25. They tend to work part-time or full-time. They tend to have higher likelihood of having families and dependents, children, spouses. They also tend to struggle more academically, and some of that has to do with the fact that they're older, so the last time they may have engaged in a math class could have been 6, 7 or more years ago. And they also tend to be from lower socioeconomic status, which is not surprising given the fact that community colleges now are much lower cost than four-year institutions. So that, I think, is the classic or traditional view of community college students. What we are trying to get at in this article, and I think we just kind of get the tip of the iceberg, is that what we're trying to understand is the diversity within transfer students. And what I see is that transfer students do still tend to have some of those characteristics, such as being older, such as having a different path to a four-year institution, that there is a diversity within that group. And so an example of this would be, in this study, there was at least one, and I've worked with many others, students who are now former military, who were on bases, and on a lot of bases they have what you could imagine a corridor, and down the hallway are a series of small offices. And each office represents a different four-year university. And so what these people do is they go to these recruiters and they take a couple classes. Maybe they get a short-term certificate or maybe they're on a pathway towards a degree. But they're on that base for, you know, maybe a year, maybe two, but not long enough to fulfill the degree. So they have gone to, but probably never set foot on, the physical location of these colleges and universities, but have been students of a variety of colleges and universities. And then eventually, you'll leave the military and come to a place like Mason, and they have credits from a variety of different institutions, but have never really actively engaged in any of those institutions beyond these kind of distance education courses. And so one of the things that we were really curious about is, if we think about transfer students as coming from a variety of pathways, what does that mean in terms of these traditional ideas around engagement, right? So is it that they really need to be academically and socially engaged in the way that we conceptualize them in the literature, or perhaps this is a group that requires a different understanding of those concepts?
What have previous researchers found about community college student engagement and transfer student engagement?
Well, there really hasn't been a large amount of research on community college students in general, and then certainly even less on community college student engagement. There was a study that we relied on, I would say, more than any others because it was a better fit, and that was the work of Townsend and Wilson, and that goes all the way back to 2006 now. And one of the things that they found was that transfer students at four-year institutions tend to not make as many social connections. Again, if you think about the complexity of their lives, they're not living on campus. They're probably living with family. They have work responsibilities, sometimes responsibilities with children. They're effectively coming to campus, going to their courses, and leaving, which is very different than a college student who is living on campus, who is engaged in multiple clubs and activities, who's sort of physically there often, making those social connections with their roommates or neighbors in the residence hall. So they tend to not make as many social connections. They also tend to show lower levels of engagement. And that is often due to their lack of involvement or their low levels of involvement on the college campus. What we know is actually very little. You know, what we know is that transfer students tend to be different than four-year students. We know that they tend to engage less on four-year campuses, that their academic integration sometimes gets blurred with their social engagement, meaning those are not always two very distinct concepts. So this particular study, I think, really helps fill the gap of the little that's known about transfer student engagement in general.
What methods did you use to answer your research questions?
So this particular study was a case study design. We interviewed individuals just at one institution, and that is the institution where I currently work, which is George Mason University.
What characteristics were you looking for in your participants, and how did you recruit participants?
We were looking specifically at transfer students within a three-year time frame. We recognize that transfer students are not going to necessarily be, you know, they don't necessarily have a T on their T-shirts as they walk around, so we had to figure out ways to identify them. How we recruited was that we requested email addresses for a three-year time period from the registrar, certainly went through all the appropriate institutional review boards as well as appropriate paperwork and with permissions in order to get access to these email addresses. And we sent a recruitment email to those individuals. We also became aware of a Transfer Student Honor Society on campus, and so we worked with the individuals running that Honor Society in order to have them send out our recruitment email. So it was really an email recruitment strategy that we used both sort of broadly across campus, but then also with a particular Honor Society.
The interview questions centered around three themes. Can you describe them for us?
So the interview questions were looked at their educational experiences prior to the four-year institution. We wanted to know more about their academic preparation. We asked them a lot about the transition from their previous institution. So we wanted to know more about how that transition happened. You know, did they attend orientation? What was their experience with orientation? And then we also wanted to know about their perceptions of academic and social engagement. So we were asking them questions like, do you have relationships with faculty? Do you feel like you fit into George Mason? How do you spend your time outside of class? And we were really trying to understand how often they are engaging with faculty and peers. What does that look like in terms of time spent and the value that they place on that particular time?
How did you analyze the interviews?
We used a pretty commonly engaged process of qualitative data analysis. We did both inductive and deductive coding, so we looked both at the literature in this area, again, the sort of thin literature in this area, as well as the interviews themselves, and came up with a series of codes. From those codes, we then developed themes. This was done in collaboration between the three of us, the three researchers, who also collected the data. And so what we would do is we'd come up with a series of initial codes. We would then come together. We would talk through them. We would decide if they made sense. We made sure we all understood what they meant. They had certain definitions and parameters. We then went back to the data and coded the rest of the interviews. And if there was at any point any discrepancy, we would come together to discuss those, to certainly make sure that we're all coding the interviews correctly. Every interview was coded by at least two of us. And what that does is, again, ensure some notion of trustworthiness, that we are, between the three of us, that we have a sense of how we are applying those codes. And from those codes, we developed themes. We talked through those themes many times, tweaked them, changed them, really made sure that they were representative of the data.
Can you describe the limitations of your study?
Case study research always has limitations. This is one institution. I think George Mason is not atypical in the number of transfer students that we bring in, particularly for a large suburban/urban institution. We do differ in terms of the diversity of our students. We tend to have students that are more diverse, and that is along the lines of race and ethnicity, religion, socioeconomic status. But we certainly are limited in terms of what we would call in the literature generalizability, right? So what we learned here at Mason, in my view, can apply, but certainly not directly, right? We're not creating causal relationships. You know, X does not definitely lead to Y. So that's certainly a limitation of any case study research. Also, we had a healthy number of interviews, but it certainly doesn't represent the perspectives of every single student on our college campus. So we wanted to be very clear about that. And there are also variables that we didn't collect. So one of the things we didn't look at is the relationship between full and part-time status. So that may impact future study if one decides to pursue this kind of topic.
To remind our listeners, your study examined how transfer students defined and participated in academic and social engagement. You also studied how their definition and participation affected their sense of belonging. First, what did your study reveal about transfer students' definitions of and participation in social engagement?
Well, you know, I think the most important finding in this particular study is related to this definition of social engagement. You know, as I mentioned before, in the literature, the history has been that those two concepts have been quite distinct, that students engage socially in some activities and academically in others. But what we found with this particular population is two things. One is that they didn't necessarily view those as two distinct things. They saw that their social lives and their academic lives could lead to a sense of belonging, that it wasn't that they needed to have both, you know, an engagement in social activities and also engagement in academic activities. We also found that, in particular with social engagement, that social engagement was not directly connected to George Mason, right, to the college or university. Rather, social engagement was much broader. Our participants tended to think of their activities in the local community, in their church, with their families, as ways that they are engaging socially, and that also related to their identities and their experiences as a college student. So if you look on a map and you see the boundaries of a college or a university, right, they seem very distinct. You're on campus, and across the street, you're off campus. And it seems like this bounded experience. But for these students, there was no boundary. So on their map, the college was encompassing of all aspects of their social life, not just what they happen to do in that physical space on campus. And I think that's really important, because I think we assume that students tend to be more successful when they are overly engaged or living on campus and constantly in a more immersive experience. Whereas with these transfer students, they're successful, and part of the reason they're successful is because they have these connections that exist outside of campus. So in that finding, I think, is very distinct from the literature.
Contributing to transfer students' success and social engagement was the students' support structures. Can you describe some of the support structures and how they helped students succeed?
The support structures that they identified was very much around these community elements. So several students talked about their family, their mentors, their church, their community-based groups, and how those really had an important impact in terms of supporting their engagement on campus. So one of the participants talked about how her husband is constantly encouraging her and nurturing her and telling her how smart he thinks she is, and that that really helped her feel that she could be successful as a college student. That supportive piece fed back into her ability to be successful in college. And again, I think that that is particularly distinctive in the literature, and that the way they define their experiences is not how we tend to define their experiences, which is along the lines of these very distinct boundaries.
Did any transfer students socially engage in traditional ways within the university?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of distinction there, and we didn't have enough data, I think, to create a solid research finding around this. But there were a couple students who tended to be younger, who transferred from other four-year institutions, who did tend to have more interaction with the campus in some of these more traditional ways. And that also had an important impact on their social engagement. So some of them did participate in Mason-related groups. For example, one of the participants that we named Eric, he was 21. He rushed in a fraternity. And that really, as he said, opened the door to being social and having an outlet other than just coming to campus. So there were a couple of those students. Again, if we would have had a larger sample, we might have been able to definitively say that this is along the lines of sort of age or family status, right, having a family or not. So again, I think what this points to is that there is a diversity within transfer students and that we have to be careful not to classify them as one kind of monolithic group, but rather they come from a variety of experiences and they're certainly at different points in their life. That in itself can create complexity for higher education institutions who are trying to figure out how to serve these students and help them be successful.
Do you think transfer students felt like they were missing out on a vital part of the undergraduate experience?
No, I don't think that they do. I think, if anything, that they find that their lives are exceptionally rich. You know, it's interesting because some of the students said they were uncomfortable in classrooms at first because they were so much older. So they walk into a classroom and it's full of, you know, 20 to 22-year-olds, and here comes, you know, John, who's 35, and that can make them feel uncomfortable. I think what the transfer students came to understand and value is their life experience, and that, in fact, can bring a diversity into the classroom. It helps them understand the material in a different way. They also expressed, I think, a certain level of seriousness to their academic work. They felt they were at a stage in life where they valued what they were doing, and at times they felt they valued that more than their peers who were much younger and had different experiences than they did. So I didn't get the sense that they were sort of missing out. And I think that's an important point because we put on transfer students a paradigm of these notions that the best experience is that of an 18 to 22-year-old who goes off to college and, you know, experiences this sort of in loco parentis environment, when in fact that's not necessarily the standard by which we should be judging all students, and certainly not transfer students. They're having successful, enriching experiences that are not just within the academic context physically, but that transcend the academic context to these social pieces that we just discussed.
What were your findings regarding transfer students' definitions of and participation in academic engagement?
So I would say that this particular finding does relate to the literature, and I think is pretty consistent with the literature, in that students did find sort of this strict focus on academic activities, and this included those meaningful connections with faculty members, and as well as these notions of academic challenge and learning. The students, they really talked a lot about the value of working with faculty outside of class. In a few cases, some of the students were friends with faculty outside of class. it was slightly more of a social engagement, and that that had really high value. I would say they even kind of thought of them in a more mentor capacity. But for the most part, they really valued when faculty paid attention to their success in their work, that they gave them lots of feedback, that they tend to go beyond their expectations, that they assisted them in learning the material outside of class, and also that they felt when the work was academically and intellectually challenging. And I think that's a really important point because students want and benefit from academic work that's difficult. Some of my more recent reading has been in the kind of cognitive psychology area and reading about teaching and learning. And what we know about learning is that as humans, we benefit from work that is both sort of what we would consider easy, but then also what we would consider challenging. And I think we see this here that students, they want to be challenged academically, and that that has a positive feedback loop into their sense of engagement.
Do you think transfer students valued the academic rigor of four-year universities? Because maybe in community college, their classes were too easy. After all, community college is often seen as the 13th grade.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think before this study, I might have thought that community college was easier, but it's different. And so there were some students who felt that the community college was actually a better education. And I've heard this in other studies that I've done as well. Community colleges have faculty whose main and sometimes 100% of their time is on teaching. And they are highly invested in engaging with students inside and outside the classroom. They're not, I would say, distracted by the kinds of work that I have to do, which is, in this case, you know, lots of research. So their time is not split. I think how students experience that is that they tend to experience really thoughtful, engaged faculty who are very attentive to them as people and as students. And then when they transfer to a four-year institution, particularly a research institution, they don't have that same level of attentiveness, of care, of personal attention among the faculty. So I think where on the one hand one could say, oh, well, community college must be easier than a research institution, I think students don't experience it that way at all. I think they experience very high level of exceptional teaching and learning, and that they bring those expectations to a four-year institution. And unfortunately, there are times that they're very disappointed because it's not the kind of environment that they had experienced and that they wanted it to be. At the same time, these students are often moving from a more general education environment to their majors. And that means that those, again, it's sort of an apples and oranges issue. Their experiences in the classroom are going to differ. And in some cases, I think they find that the work is easier because they're more interested in it, right? It is in their academic major. It is the exact thing that they want to learn about and assignments that they're invested in doing. So it's not to say that it's easier per se. I think they can feel and they can think that it's easier because of their investment in that work. You know, a student who's in history who had to take a general education statistics course, for example, might have felt that the statistics course was the hardest course they ever took. But then when they take that history course, they're so invested in it that their concern is not whether or not it's difficult. Their passion and investment, their curiosity, you know, overrides any feelings of difficulty. So I think it's a challenge to make those generalizations. And in my research and in talking to transfer students, I don't think that they perceive the community college as being easier. And in some cases, they experience it as being better. They prefer that kind of environment over what they experience at a four-year institution.
Based off of your interviews, what did you conclude about transfer students' sense of belonging at George Mason University?
So in terms of sense of belonging, I was very surprised by this, actually, because there was such a range of students' feelings of sense of belonging. Some students felt that they belonged entirely to the institution, while others felt very excluded. Students would say things like they're comfortable here, they don't feel like they have any issues with belonging. One student, an older student, talked about they fit in here, and part of it is because they identify with the instructor, right? The student was 47, and they see the instructor, and they say, oh, well, I'm like you, right? I'm your age, so I feel like I fit in immediately. or they felt that they were in classrooms where there was a diversity of age. And again, that's a distinction, I think, at Mason that is shared by a lot of four-year institutions, probably not your top 100 research institutions, but I would say your state, mostly comprehensive institutions are going to have more of that diversity of age. And so a lot of students, they would not say, I am a transfer student and you are sort of a native student. They didn't feel that distinction between themselves. They felt that they belonged just as much as somebody who started there as an incoming freshman. You know, at the same time, so I would say that was the majority of participants. There is a few students that I think felt that they were not necessarily excluded but weren't sure if they fit in. The events and the social activities were held at times that they couldn't attend, so that did not promote their sense of belonging. And so they felt that there was a challenge given that, you know, they didn't necessarily have a lot of time to spend on campus, so that they couldn't engage in those activities and that there wasn't necessarily a conscious effort on behalf of the university to create those opportunities for transfer students. One of our authors, Jeannie Brown Leonard, now runs the Transfer Student Center on campus. I do know that Mason does try to reach out to transfer students, but it's equally challenging. When you do programming for transfer students, they're often too busy to go. So the efforts are sometimes short-lived or unsuccessful. There was quite a range, but I would say more than not, and I think the more important finding, is that they do feel included in the campus. They don't feel excluded from the campus.
What role did academic and social engagement play into transfer students' sense of belonging to the university?
And I think it played a central role in that their intellectually challenging work, they really appreciated that. It really contributed to their good feelings about being at Mason. When students felt that they could be successful, not that they were always successful in every assignment and every course, but when they felt that they could be successful by virtue of encouragement through faculty, encouragement by peers, and then certainly having that ultimate success, whether it be on an assignment or in a course or eventually getting their degree, that had a very positive feedback loop back to their sense of belonging. It's effectively, if I can do the work, then I must belong here. I belong here because I can be successful at this kind of work. And so that had a very positive feedback loop, which is very different, I think, from the literature saying that students feel a sense of belonging when they are engaged in student affairs-like activities, when they're a part of student groups. And I've done some other research where that's the case. Their major sense of belonging arises from these more socially geared activities. But with transfer students, their social activities reinforced their belief, their self-efficacy in their ability to be successful in college, which was then reinforced while they were physically at college and in classes, which then helped them be successful. So it could be perceived as slight nuances, but these are really important ways that this group is experiencing these pieces, and it matters in terms of how institutions think about programming around transfer students.
What are the implications of your study's findings?
Well, in addition to the implications I think I've already mentioned about the literature, what we really hope is that, and what we really wanted to do here was challenge these ideas around student engagement that really pervade both the discipline and I think institutional decision makers. And there's been some critiques around these national studies around student engagement. I'm certainly not the only one to have a critique. And the critique is very important because much of this data is collected at institutions with those traditionally aged student populations, or they're not included of transfer students when they're collecting data, or they don't really disaggregate that data by transfer students. The Community College Survey of Student Engagement certainly does look specifically at community colleges. However, you know, I think there's this area that we're still not certain about in the literature around these students that swirl between many different institutions. And when I wrote this paper with my co-authors, I looked far, wide, and deep to find national data on where students come from in terms of transfer. And the best study I could find was back from 2003, which is too old. And that study really showed that there's a large number of students who have these very circuitous paths to a four-year institution, like I mentioned earlier. they'll go to like 3 4-year institutions before they go to the one where they get their degree, or they'll go to a 4-year institution and then a community college and then a 4-year institution, right? These pathways are not as clear as we often think of them. So I hope that this study says we need to rethink these measures that we so much rely on for this particular population and not assume that we know how they're defining their experiences.
What advice would you give to university administrators to improve transfer student engagement?
That's a really hard question, right? I'm not sure that I have the exact answer. I mean, if a campus administrator came to me with that question, I would begin by asking them to look at the data that they have on their students. As I mentioned, I think a fair number of these surveys do not do a good job of really separating the transfer versus the native population and looking at their different characteristics and needs. So I would really begin just by saying, go look at your data and figure out who your transfer students are. I would also recommend that they seek advice from students themselves. I think that they need to have advisory groups and committees of transfer students where they can really hear the diversity of those needs. I think that they have to consider the central nature of academic integration in the lives of transfer students and really promote high levels of faculty-student engagement. And that can be fostered through a variety of mechanisms, such as lower class sizes, non-gigantic lecture-based courses, you know, ways that there can be a personal connection created that faculty can give extensive feedback to individual students. I think that that's essential really for all students, but certainly for transfer students. I think they need to help create learning environments. I mean, some of the recent research on learning environments, classroom design, I think are really important. There's more institutions that are looking at maker spaces, rooms and parts of building that have equipment that allows for more project-based learning, 3D printers and the like. Those are places that faculty can leverage their curriculum to get students in more active and collaborative learning spaces within the context of a course. Because again, these are not students who are going to go to a bunch of social activities. These are students who don't have time for those activities. But if you can figure out ways to help them make social connections in the context of a course, they're going to translate that into a sense of belonging and ultimately a sense of success. In a lot of ways, it comes down to good teaching and learning, which is something that we're continuing to know more and more about in the neuroscience research and the cognitive psychology research. And if we can do that, I think all students will benefit.
How would you advise our listeners to approach engagement while they're in community college and once they transfer?
It depends on the life circumstances of individuals. I think you have to prioritize and take serious the academic work that you're doing. I think you have to balance that with all of your other life responsibilities. I would highly recommend that these students find ways to connect with individuals on campus, in particular their instructors, but not exclusive of them. One of the things that the Community College Survey of Student Engagement finds consistently is that while we think about this idea of faculty being only faculty, right, the instructor, the person standing in the front of the room, this work has been primarily on community college students, but I found this in my research on four-year students as well, is that they don't conceptualize faculty in these nice, discrete ways. So a student affairs professional who teaches orientation, who by all intents and purposes on behalf of the institution is not considered a faculty member, they're considered a student affairs professional or a staff member. In the eyes of the student, that is a faculty member. So they, when they answer questions on a survey about faculty engagement, they're thinking about that person. They're not necessarily thinking about the instructor in the front of the room. So it's important that community college students and four-year students really get connected to people who are connected to their academic experience.
Thank you for joining us, Professor Lester, to discuss your article that you co-authored with Dr. Jeannie Brown-Leonard and David Mathias. Their research article was published in Community College Review and is titled Transfer Student Engagement, Blurring of Social and Academic Engagement. This was Community College Path with your host, David Nguyen. You're listening to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live at lancerradionetwork.org.